need to speak about inflammation, because there is a possibility that inflammation is behind many of the problems that we are seeing with diabetes, with metabolic syndrome, etc. And this is based on an article in Time magazine. And the article, let me just see if I can find it. I had it here, but it's getting lost. All right, it is in Time magazine. Check with Leah. She has the article. I thought I had it with me, but I do not. She has the article. It was a cover article on inflammation. And this is some of the information which I have gleaned off of the internet and through that article and through going to seminars. And there also is a book on inflammation by Barry Sears, which is very good. So here's some of the new research. The new research is concentrating on chronic inflammation and its effect on the body. What does chronic inflammation do to the body? First, it destabilizes cholesterol deposits in coronary arteries, and so it leads to heart attacks and strokes. Second, it destroys nerve cells in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. Third, it may result in the multiplication of abnormal cells and influence their change to cancer. So, chronic inflammation may actually be behind many of the most feared illnesses of middle and old age. Let's go through a review of the basic immunological response. There's innate immunity. This is the generalized response of the body to any kind of attack, such as trauma, injury, or bacteria. Sentinel cells alert the immune system of the problem and results in the release of histamine from the mast cells. The histamine makes capillaries leaky, slowing down the invading bacteria and allowing other immune cells to get in the area. Other sentinels, macrophages, also attack and release cytokines, which signal the body that more response is needed. Second type of immunity is learned immunity. This directs and intensifies the innate response, creating antibodies to specific organisms. Both types of immunity fight against the pathogens, destroying them and then eventually diminishing the inflammatory response. Problems occur when this inflammatory immune process isn't shut off. Research is in progress to confirm the following very interesting information. Okay, now, first, in heart attacks are no longer considered to be caused by a clogged artery. Instead, the belief is that the plaque in the artery actually bursts, spewing clots, which cut off artery blood supply. In diabetes mellitus, it is thought that there's a connection between inflammation and fat. Fat cells give off inflammatory cytokines, particularly as one puts on weight. The question is, can treating inflammation prevent diabetes mellitus? We know that losing weight reduces blood sugar. So is there a connection? We know that exercise shrinks fat cells, thus decreasing the number of cells which would give off the inflammatory cytokine. So does exercise itself help us to ward off diabetes mellitus? And there is also research in the area of cancer. When the cells of the body are injured or impaired, the inflammatory response is initiated to heal them. This area may not be an injury, but in fact the beginning of a cancerous growth. In the body's effort to heal it, thus produce inflammation and bring proteins to the area, it could actually be enhancing the growth of the tumor. Another area is in Alzheimer's disease. Through research, it was found that people who took anti-inflammatories developed Alzheimer's disease later than those who didn't take them? Does the body see the damage to the brain as an area in need of the inflammatory response and thus add to the damage? Both aspirin and fish oil reduce inflammatory cytokines, and they thus may reduce a person's risk of Alzheimer's disease. But they do not seem to help once the disease has been discovered. Next, hypertension. Some of the common antihypertensive drugs may work by actually decreasing the inflammatory factors that cause constriction of blood vessels. Next, let's look at oral hygiene. Gum disease is a source of chronic inflammation, perhaps which affects other parts of the body. Does good oral hygiene actually reduce the chance of hypertension, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, etc.? Diabetes and heart attack? This is a new reason to go to your dentist. And then there is research on statin drugs. Statin drugs lower cholesterol, they reduce inflammation, and they also reduce C-reactive protein as well. That is C, capital C, dash, reactive protein. Let's look at what C-reactive protein is. It is a marker of systemic inflammation, which is produced by the liver in direct response to inflammation. The difference between elevated and normal is so small, however, that it must be measured by a high-sensitivity C-reactive protein test. So we need a high-sensitivity one done rather than just a C-reactive protein. A low C-reactive protein is associated with physical activity and weight loss. So the more you do physical activity and more you lose weight, the lower the C-reactive protein. Drugs which lower the C-reactive protein are statins, aspirin, and niacin. So C-reactive protein is a marker of systemic inflammation. So perhaps next time we have physical exams, high-sensitivity C-reactive protein is something you should ask for and encourage your patients to ask for as well, to reflect what's going on in your body as far as systemic inflammation. Okay, I just want to go over in conclusion, what the American Diabetic Association has as their healthy eating plan. They include 3 servings of vegetables, 2 servings of fruits, 6 servings of grains, beans, and starchy vegetables, 2 servings of low-fat or fat-free milk, about 6 ounces of meat or meat substitute, small amounts of fat and sugar, and a total carbohydrate intake of 159 grams or 636 calories, and this does not include any amount of additional sugar. I thank you so much for your attention, and I hope to see you in the nursing building sometime soon. Thank you.